across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 24th, 2024, 7/24/24. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network through the app, watching us on social media, or later through podcast. I got a question for you. Is this fog or is this smoke? I can never tell if Canada's on fire again or not, or if we just had a little extra moisture on the ground that's lifting up. Brittany Merlot is probably, allegedly, in a tent someplace at the EAA, and we'll check in on how that's going as well, and maybe she can tell us what we're dealing with here. It's still beautiful just the same. It's another summer morning in Wisconsin. It's nice to have you along. You can join us along the way, of course, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text that number. You can use the Civic Media app. And of course, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, not you, Twitter, you can leave a message there. We'll see it on screen. Maybe put it up on our screen as well. 57 degrees here in Lake Wissota right now. As far as down in Waukesha, where one Greg Bach is standing by, he's got a fancy thermometer of his own down there. Or do you? What do you have down there? Is it like
a phone,
like a high-tech weather lab thing, or just look at the bank thermometer across the street? Phone. Your phone.
Yeah, it's no. There's no bank thermometer across the street. It's okay. 63 and cloudy right now. High is 72, low of 55. Warming expected over the next 3 days, with an hourly forecast of cloud.
just the one that's going to sit over us here.
No rain on my forecast, but it's definitely going to be gloomy, it seems.
Yeah, it does. It has a very gray look for it, but that's okay, because all around Wisconsin right now, all around the country, there's Kamala-mentum. Is that not going to catch on? Kamala-mentum? I don't know. Was it Joe Biden? Didn't he have like Joe-mentum? And somebody else, other people have tried to. Oh, it was George H.W. Bush talking about, I got the big mo. He's got the big mo. People have been having fun with momentum ever since.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So Kamala-mentum hit West Allis, and we'll talk about the vice president holding her first big rally of her presidential campaign right here in Wisconsin. And, of course, it's Wednesday, so we'll have our climate check report with Melissa Baldoff. We will talk about Harris's record on climate issues. Spoiler alert, it's pretty good. And we'll talk about recent events there as well. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio will join us for today's history lesson. I don't know if you've checked in with her at all, Greg, but recall that we ended the segment last Wednesday with her saying she needed to find a food truck for some event in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see how that's turned out for her. You know, is it going to be like a big turnout, like 4, 5, 6 food trucks, or like Maury with his Weber is going to come running up and you know, grill a few veggie patties or something. I hope it goes better than that.
I got an 88 Ford Taurus. It's basically a truck. I'll grill up some brats. Yeah, I
make sandwiches on the manifold.
Yeah.
I just wrap them in tin foil.
I need a food truck. Oh no, how are you ever going to find that anywhere in America?
Right. So we'll check with Melissa a little later on this hour about that. In our homeroom segment, we have a visitor here. The Wisconsin Public Education Network has their summer summit coming up next week. Educators from all over the state come in and hear from a lot of special guest speakers. And we'll preview one of those guest speakers. Derek Gottlieb is an associate professor at the University of Northern Colorado who works on exposing the flawed arguments that are used to justify voucher schools. And there's hardly a voucher school system like the one in Wisconsin that taxpayers are paying for and probably have no idea just how much of their tax dollars go in that direction. And then we've got Todd Alba coming up as well to talk about what's on his show. And then I'm saving the best for last year, because an hour from now, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan. It was on Friday of last week, if I'm not mistaken, that Congressman Pocan joined a growing chorus of voices in Congress among Democrats who called on President Biden to withdraw from the race. That happened about 48 hours later. We'll talk to the congressman about his reaction to the news and to what appears to be a full unity of the Democratic Party coalescing around the candidacy of Kamala Harris to be the presumptive Democratic nominee. So Congressman Pocan, about an hour from now. Greg, the Olympics in Paris begin on Friday, so day after tomorrow. We get used to seeing a lot of Paris and a lot of sports. And breaking news this morning, the Olympics, the Winter Olympics for 2034, 10 years from now, the Winter Olympics for 2034 have just been awarded to Salt Lake City.
Oh, again. Okay.
Which had a wonderful Olympics 2002,
yeah,
I think, if memory serves.
I think so.
And I've only been to Salt Lake City once, and I think it was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years after that, and they were still kind of basking in the glow, and you could see it was just an up-and-coming friendly city. They just got an NHL franchise. The one from Arizona is moving up there. There's talk about moving a baseball team, expansion team maybe someday to Salt Lake. So definitely a city on the move, and has just been awarded the Olympics for that. Would you go see the Olympics summer or winter in some city, or are you kind of like, I would not like to be stuck with a million people cheek to jowl, please. No, I'll watch it on TV.
I think if I was doing like, it, let's say in a world where civic media was that large, I would totally do it for an in a world where our budget is huge. Yes. I would go for work. I don't think I would go for fun because one, I won't lie, not a huge Olympics fan. I don't dislike it, but I just. Mm-hmm. Not my jam, but the spectacle, yes, I wouldn't mind seeing the spectacle, and I would love to go to Salt Lake because I hear nothing but, I have a bunch of comedian friends who say it's got an amazing comedy scene there. The people there are lovely and wonderful, and it's just very nice, and so to...
Very nice.
Yeah.
So nice. Just, you want to shake some of them by the shoulders. By the time we were done there, I'm like, why are you so nice all the time?
And we're Midwestern. I mean, people like...
And we're... Right.
Yeah.
They like us. They get there and they're like, wait a minute. Is this like, am I in Westworld or what is going on over here? Maybe too. It's, I like the way they kind of have this wink, wink thing about drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Now here in Wisconsin.
Weird law there.
Here in Wisconsin, it's like, you know, well, what would you like with your breakfast? Some milk, some orange juice, a Bloody Mary, you know?
Yeah.
But over there, We went into what we thought was a bar
and
ordered a drink. And the bartender, nice young man, was like, are you members? We're like, no, this is just a bar. And he that's when he knew we were tourists. And he's like, no. You see, there are no bars here. There are only social clubs. And you can only serve alcohol to members of the club. So he grabs this very generic little 3x5 slip of paper and says, put your name on here and you'll be a member. We're like, really? So we put her name on there.
Yeah.
And he says, welcome to our club. How may I help you?
Nice.
I would like a drink, please. Here you go. I'm like, wow, I'm a member.
They for the longest time, they wouldn't serve beer over a certain percentage. And I remember the funniest one I ever heard was my friend ordered a Jack and Coke and a shot of a shot. And they made him drink the shot at the bar because he couldn't hold two drinks in one hand and two drinks and travel back to his table. He had to have one drink. it's like you can drink, but here's a gauntlet which you must traverse to get to it.
Maybe those little barriers are helpful when one sees the number of problem drinkers in Wisconsin and things that go along with it. But I think for those of us who, I mean, if you look at it as from a, say, a freedom perspective, like we're free to order what we want and get it and everything, you kind of look at that and go, well, maybe those little restrictions aren't necessarily the worst thing in the world if it keeps you from, you know, doing a keg stand or something.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I tell parents, I'm like, you know, your kids can drink with you because Wisconsin has a weird law.
Yes. Go ahead. Little Billy can drink to his heart's content. It's fine. It's Wisconsin. It's what we do.
Yeah.
So we don't have a social club here. We have, you know, 12-step program. So Salt Lake, good luck to you. Have fun with the Olympics that you're going to be enjoying there. I would love to tell you what I saw of the Brewers game at Wrigley Field. What I saw was them delaying the game, saying, well, storm's about to move in. Mm. And it's always weird when you see them roll the tarp out and it's perfectly dry. You know, everything's fine. But then I pulled up the radar on my phone. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're about to get walloped. And they did. And then about the time they were taking the tarp off, I'm like, okay, that's it. That's enough for me. So and I sense that might be the case for a lot of folks. So here's the good news. And then we got some bad news. The good news is Bryce Turang drove in the game's only run with a grounder in the top of the eighth inning. And the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Cubs last night. Final score was 1-0. Turang, again, that was in the top of the eighth. The Cubs loaded the bases in the bottom of the eighth against Jared Koenig, but the Cubs came up empty. The game began almost 90 minutes late after a quick but lightning-heavy thunderstorm. And then they'll play again this afternoon. Let me get that first pitch time just right for you. Yep, 1:20 will be first pitch this afternoon. Unfortunately, the bad news is that outfielder Christian Yelich left in the sixth inning with back tightness, and manager Pat Murphy says he fears that Yelich is going to require a stint on the injured list. So there you go. I'm just pausing because we don't know how long those injury stints last, especially with Yelich. You know, he gets what did he miss? Like 23 games, I think, earlier on in the season.
Yeah, he was gone for a while, and he had some injuries a few seasons. I mean, he had that major injury when he basically broke his ankle on a ball, like hitting the ball, breaking his ankle, and yeah.
So now look, the team did very well. They stayed in first place for a big chunk of the time that he was injured earlier in the season. So maybe I'm making a bit too much out of this, but it just seems like, I mean, last time around, I thought, is this going to be the one where he says, I'm not coming back from this? And we don't know. So we are heavy in outfield. Garrett Mitchell is back. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll be okay. It's just that, you know, you always wonder if this is going to be the start of something. Hopefully not.
No.
So, again, Cubs play this afternoon. Brewers play the Cubs this afternoon. Tomorrow, they have an off day. Come back home for a six-game series against the Miami Marlins Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon, and then three games next week against Atlanta. Friday night's game is a Yacht Rock night at the Brewers game. Come see me and Mr. Bach. We'll be floating around there someplace, so be on the lookout.
We're going to have fun.
It is going to be fun. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from This is a little live music from the Eagles, Tequila Sunrise. It's another tequila sunrise. Because while we've been on the subject of alcohol consumption, today is National Tequila Day.
I don't know why I said hi-ya. Yeah,
it just doesn't seem like the thing you bring up at 6:21 in the morning. But yeah, it's Tequila Day.
Sometimes when you drink too much tequila, Pat, tequila's brought up at 6:20 in the morning.
It's a very fair point. Thank you. We'll have much more of today's history lesson and things that maybe are a little less vomit-inducing coming up in a half hour. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio will join us as well. All right, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack, so let's unpack the news here on Up North News Radio and talk about yesterday's first official campaign rally by Vice President Kamala Harris as a candidate for president, as the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party when they gather in Chicago next week. And I have to say again, before we get to her rally comments at Central High School in West Allis, that as I continue to talk about these conditions over the past few days with folks, and we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff about them as well in about 15 minutes. Things could have gone so differently. Things could have gone in several different directions. And who knows if, again, if maybe Gavin Newsom had gone first or just pick on somebody and said, you know, I'm going to run. I think there would have been, it would have been like the seagulls in Finding Nemo. That would have been like the presidency. It could be mine. Mine. I'm running for president. And it was not,
yeah.
But it could have been, you know, it was, I felt like I thought everybody was nervous, you know,
I was really holding out hope for Joe Manchin. Come on, Joe.
Yeah, he was the only one who basically floated his name out there and got a collective sit down,
yeah.
You know, and it was that moment was very satisfying. So I was very happy about that. But no, folks coalesced very nicely, very quickly. We talked to Angela Lang yesterday from Block all about that, about the excitement level. People very relieved at the passing of the torch and that it takes nothing away from Joe Biden and his accomplishments. He will deliver an address tonight from the Oval Office talking about his decision to withdraw and talking about what he wants to accomplish for his final 6 months as president. And by the way, the Republicans in Congress have been very busy. They have been drafting letters asking Vice President Harris to invoke the 25th Amendment, demanding that Biden resign, demanding investigations, etc. Again, do you have any ideas of your own? Or do you just live to criticize others? I always have to watch my language on the radio sometimes. Criticize others. Is that all you got? Because again, it was your nominee, your president at the time, that members of his cabinet were talking about invoking the 25th Amendment, and that realistically could have happened around the time of January 6th. So again, stop opening yourself up to reality checks. But at West Dallas Central, a roaring crowd of voters greeted the vice president as she made her first public case against former President Trump, saying that this November's election will be a choice between freedom and chaos. She is very familiar, of course, with Mr. Trump and his record, and she gave the soundbite that you're going to hear a lot. This is the one that I won't play, but she talks about, you know, knowing Trump's kind of personality and knowing his record, and that her record as a prosecutor has been going after con men, going after criminals, going after people convicted of sexual assault, and that she knows Donald Trump's type. So after blasting Trump repeatedly on that front, she then did pivot to say, as I often say to our Republican friends, a campaign is not just about what you're against or who you're against, but what are you for?
But let's also make no mistake, this campaign is not just about us versus Donald Trump. This campaign is about who we fight for.
And so she started to outline those areas. Who are you fighting for? And of course, she had core issues that she wanted to make sure people talked about. She begins and ends oftentimes with women's reproductive health rights. You know, the world is a lot different than it was when it was Hillary Clinton running against Donald Trump and people saying, oh, Trump might be moderate. Trump might not be that bad. Well, then he did win. He appointed 3 Supreme Court justices and we got the Dobbs decision and a huge rolling back of women's rights. And Kamala Harris is up there saying, we're not stopping until this fight is won on this and other issues.
Now, Wisconsin, the baton is in our hands. We, who believe in the sacred freedom to vote, will make sure every American has the ability to cast their ballot and have it counted. We, who believe that every person in our nation who should have the freedom to live safe from the terror of gun violence, will finally pass red flag laws, universal background checks, and an assault weapons ban. And we, who believe in reproductive freedom, will stop Donald Trump's extreme abortion bans because we trust women to make decisions about their own body. when Congress passes a law to restore reproductive freedoms, as President of the United States, I will sign it into law.
And so, again, she made clear that there are traits and positions of Donald Trump that he holds, that she is going to prosecute the case against him. And in conclusion, reminded people not to take anything for granted, especially here in Wisconsin.
Fear and hate. And here's the beauty of this moment. We each have the power to answer that question. The power is with the people. We each have the power to answer that question. And in the next 105 days, then we have work to do. We have doors to knock on. We have phone calls to make. We have voters to register. And we have an election to win. So, Wisconsin, today I ask you, are you ready to get to work? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America? And are we ready to fight for it? And when we fight, we win. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
When we come back, we will talk to Melissa Baldoff about recent developments with the vice president taking over as standard bearer for the Democrats and more in this week's Climate Check next. You're up north.
It's electric.
6:34 on this Wednesday morning on Up North News Radio. Time for our climate check. Melissa Baldoff is here. And while we talk about the climate, the overwhelming majority of the time, Melissa and I both have enough experience in politics and all kinds of other areas that sometimes we just need to kick back and expand the view a little bit. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thanks.
What's the line from 30 Rock? What a week, huh? Lemon, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, right? Exactly.
I obviously we've never seen anything like this. We weren't around, you know, involved in politics in 1968 for LBJ to make the move that he did. We knew it had been an awkward 3 weeks, shall we say, for Democrats and for Joe Biden. But this has truly been unlike anything else that we've ever seen. And the funny thing is, Melissa, as crazy as it's been, you get to this point and Democrats and progressives and never Trump Republicans probably feel like it was all worth it in the end, at least at this point, 104 days to go, right?
Like you said, been an incredible few weeks. You know, what's really stood out to me the past few days here is just the incredible enthusiasm. Certainly the amount of money that's been raised to support Vice President Harris is staggering, just shattering records. The outpouring of volunteer support, of, you know, just support online, seeing people so excited and engaged. It's really something. And seeing the Trump campaign so completely unprepared for this, you know, they've been, you know,
so cocky.
Just and
so,
you know,
arrogant, you know, measuring the drapes and everything else. What's really struck me about this is the organic nature of this. Mm-hmm. Organic in this way. All of these videos that started going around and memes of Kamala Harris of support and let's go and everything else, that was not something that was manufactured. That was organic, coming from people who wanted to create something right away to express their happiness about the turn of events. Mm-hmm. But also, when we talk about the money, now $100 million is a lot of money, but that's not $100 million from, you know, one guy like Elon Musk. These are small dollar donations, the kinds of things we haven't seen since Barack Obama's first campaign.
Exactly.
We're reminded people aren't crazy about all the big money in politics, but they will still write a check for 10 or 20 or 50 bucks if they feel the person and the time is right. And it's almost, as much as we want money out of politics, it's a refreshing sign that people are still willing to invest in something when they like what they see.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, really one of the most, I thought, you know, mind-blowing statistics there. Like you said, there were 888,000 grassroots donors in that first 24 hours. And for 60% of them, it was their first contribution in 2024. So that is really amazing. And of that 100 million that we had been talking about, 1.1 million unique donors, 62% first-time donors. I mean, this is really, like you said, a very organic movement, people who are inspired by Vice President Harris, by what they're seeing. They want to be a part of it. And I think that's really special. And, you know, it speaks to, I think, something too that the Vice President touched on when she was in Milwaukee yesterday, that it's not just that people are against Trump, the felon who Republicans have chosen as their nominee, and they certainly are against him and his Project 2025 agenda, but it is about what they're for. They are for a candidate who is fighting for the middle class, fighting for our democracy and fighting for our rights. And that's, I think, something that people are really excited about. You know, you see people who are excited to have, you know, to be voting for a woman, a Black woman. We're seeing young people who are really engaged and excited. And like you said, that organic content, you know, the memes and the videos of Kamala, you know, talking about, you know, you think you just fell out of the coconut tree. That was something that the RNC really pushed. They thought it was going to be, you know, like a negative or an embarrassing little anecdote. And they, you know, it's like, hey, RNC research team, thanks for making this the most popular meme on social media.
Thanks for humanizing her. Exactly. Yeah, they want to see the lighter side of people. Mm-hmm. Again, much like Dark Brandon in the aviator glasses. You know, they want something like that. Not so much a dictator from day one. So let's pivot from that overview to what the Vice President was saying yesterday in West Allis. Now, she did not have a climate section per se, but she did point out the way that former President Trump basically solicited a $1 billion bribe from big oil executives, saying you guys should give me $1 billion because I'm going to give you guys pretty much whatever you want. I mean, that's our entry point into Kamala Harris and climate. But she, I mean, again, being a California senator where they take environmental matters very seriously, you can start pretty much anywhere on this. I guess we could start with casting the deciding vote to pass the Inflation Reduction Act and everything there that's going to be good for the climate and jobs.
Right. So Joe Biden has been the best climate president ever. And I definitely don't want this segment to go by without honoring Joe Biden in his service to our country and saying how lucky we are to have had him as our president, and to know that what he has accomplished in 4 years, most people won't be able to accomplish in eight if they were able to get eight. So what he has done for this country is incredible. And he is such a good, good man and has been an incredible president and will continue to be through the remainder of his term. And I think as president, Kamala Harris will build on that legacy of doing the right thing when it comes to climate change. That's, you know, that's certainly been her record in office, you know, going back to her time in her first public office when she was a district attorney. She created one of the very first environmental justice legal units in the country. And she was
And for folks, frankly, who might have missed our earlier discussions about that, an environmental justice legal unit in a district attorney's office or a Department of Justice, anything like that, is simply making sure that if something's going to impact, you know, the environment in an area, that you look at the communities who might be impacted most, but also might have the least amount of say, the least amount of money, the least amount of power. And it's really just a way to make sure that, you know, the big guys can't run over the little guys when you're, you know, doing something that might pollute the area, that might cause, you know, damage to breathing or to land or to water in the area. And again, she was kind of a pioneer in that area.
Exactly. And, you know, then moving on to her time as the Attorney General of California, you know, she was, you know, unlike Donald Trump, who's telling big oil, you know, hey, I'll give you $1 billion, you give me $1 billion and you can do whatever you want, and I'll give you all the tax breaks you want in the world. She wasn't afraid to stand up to big oil. And in fact, went to court, forced Chevron and BP to comply with the law, clean up messes they'd left. She, you know, led a lawsuit.
Do you think she
fracking.
Could she maybe help do that with PFAS water here in Wisconsin to show that you could actually go after the people who made the mess in the first place?
You know, I think that she certainly could. So I think that she's really demonstrated that she is unafraid to stand up to polluters, and she is unafraid to do the right thing to keep people safe and healthy and to keep our environment safe and healthy.
The League of Conservation Voters notes that she has a 90% lifetime rating. She has put forward other legislation that would help clean up America's fleet of school buses, which is something we've talked about that was in the Inflation Reduction Act as well. So she is no stranger to the topic, and she hasn't been just talk. She's been action in all of this. And Melissa, I think that if she is able to take this message on the campaign trail, I don't know where Republicans really go. I just see a lot of flailing by Republicans to try to go after such a pro-environmental health agenda.
Right. We know that we unfortunately are going to see incredibly nasty attacks on the vice president. We've seen them already, and we're going to continue to see them on her personally. You know, we're going to see them try to, you know, lie about her record, definitely lie about she and Joe Biden's accomplishments. And that's why it's, you know, so critically important that we continue to talk about the incredible accomplishments of the Biden-Harris administration when it comes to things like the Inflation Reduction Act, the progress we've made on climate. Because as we've talked about so many times, these are policies that are benefiting people right now and will continue to impact people's lives for the better and improve our economy and our environment for decades to come. So it is critically important that we continue to talk about that.
Yeah. There's a report from CBS that notes that when she launched her presidential campaign back in 2019, her climate agenda was actually more ambitious than Biden's was at the time, which included a carbon tax, a climate pollution fee, a ban on fracking, a commitment to, you know, multiple trillions of dollars in climate spending. And that this is all important, according to this report, because there are more climate-minded voters than ever. The Environmental Voter Project identified significant numbers of climate voters in key battleground states. And, you know, we've said this about every group, okay? We've said about women in the suburbs and Black women and climate voters and, rural voters, you name it. But in this particular case, again, for a growing number of people who vote with the climate in mind, this can be a real difference maker given the record that she can run on.
Yeah. And I think also too, you know, we know that that young voters are so inspired by to vote by climate change, and that is an issue that is so important to them. And we know that, you know, young voters were, you know, really feeling, you know, really some lack of enthusiasm about Joe Biden, unfortunately. And, you know, understandably, to know that, you know, the choice was, you know, somebody who was, you know, just somebody very old. And seeing now, they're really seeing a lot of young people just very enthusiastic, very engaged, very energetic. And I think that is really going to make a difference when they see somebody, when they see the vice president, when they see Kamala Harris out there and they know her record, they know that she has a very forward-looking agenda on climate. And, you know, that could really make a difference in this election.
I mean, I think 1 week ago, we were concerned that there might be just an immense drop off in young voter turnout, which, you know, has always lagged anyway, but you know, we'd like to think would be getting better. Now it's almost hard to see how it doesn't have a big improvement, and they'll be voting on a host of issues, student loan debt and gun safety and health care and affordable child care. But, you know, putting forward a climate agenda, I think this will take more of a central role in a presidential campaign than perhaps we've ever seen before when you get down to the general election. And we'll just have to continue to follow that in places like this weekly climate check that we do each week with Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, thank you so much. I hope we get a relaxing weekend this time around.
And things are a little less
frenetic next week. Have a great day.
You too.
And we will be back with today's history lesson, and your forecast from Brittany Merlot is coming up as well. You're up north. The camera pushes in to see Melissa Kay in the corner of a boxing ring. Greg Bach making sure the laces on her gloves are tight. Says, get in there, Melissa. You've got the eye of the tiger. The eye of the tiger rock.
You're going to eat thunder and crap lightning.
Oh, boy.
All this for Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio to get into the ring and join us for today's history lesson. Melissa, how are you?
I am happy to be here, I guess.
I guess. I'm happy to be here, I guess. Survivor had Eye of the Tiger hit number one this day in 1982, thanks to its use in the movie Rocky III. Michael Richards, in what world is Kramer 75 and Wonder Woman is 73? Well, this world, because Michael Richards is 75 today and Linda Carter is 73 years old.
Linda Carter, one of the best follows on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. Just funny, doesn't take herself too seriously. But back to Melissa's big battle here. We've all been waiting 7 days for the update. When we left Melissa, it was that she was searching for a food truck. And we wondered if food trucks could be found. So Melissa, tell us again about the function and how things are going, planning the big gig.
So we actually had our big meeting yesterday with the team, and we're making progress. We've got our parking lot party planned. We're bringing cornhole. We've got hula hoops. It's going to be a whole thing. And I actually secured us a food truck.
You did.
I found tacos, guys.
We have tacos.
We got tacos.
Melissa comes through. Way to go.
Yes, it's August 14th from noon to 6 in our parking lot.
And
we might even have another food truck. Sarah Sweets might show up.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, once we get this Chippewa Falls studio downtown up and running, you're really setting the pace. We're gonna have a high bar to clear. Rob from Tigerton chiming in early, not waiting for Brittany's weather to say, I want to say Melissa Kay does a great job as Brittany's backup on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau and Central Wisconsin. Well, thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
That's so nice. Let's get back to today's history lesson, and let's take it down a bit. Let's get a little mellow here, because the number one song this day in 1976 was from the Manhattans.
Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now, a little falsetto.
I had to meet you here today.
I love that we have the Four Tops, Temptations, Glass Night and the Pips, the OJs. You just want to stand in the back. We'd be one of the background singing guys and just do your little moves, you know, spin and like do your little Midnight Train to Georgia with the hands. And you're just doing this whole time. We're singing this very slow song about kissing and saying goodbye.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
On this day in 1935, the Dust Bowl heat wave reached its peak, sending temperatures to 109 in Chicago and 104 in Milwaukee. Just not a great time, that Dust Bowl. When we do our climate check and you go, why do you guys do this? Why do you care about the climate? Let's talk about Dust Bowl sometime, shall we?
Three grapes of wrath.
Yeah. Hey, on that that other little fun music station you got there in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yes, WIRI 105.5.
Do you play a little Pam Tillis now and then?
When we can.
I'll bet you do, because she is 66 years old today and had a dozen top 10 country hits, including this one.
Leave me alone, over and over. Destiny turns on a dime.
She was the daughter of Mel Tillis, is the daughter of Mel Tillis, another country legend there in his own right. On this day in 1983... Melissa, if I mention the pine tar incident in baseball, do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No.
That's okay. You don't have to. Just wondering how much staying power that had. On this day in 1983, George Brett, legendary hitter for the Kansas City Royals, playing against the Yankees, hits a game-ruining home run. But the umps take a look at the bat, and they look, and they look, and they look, and they finally determine that he had too much pine tar on the handle of the bat. And so they take away the home run, and the Royals lose, and George Brett comes running out of the dugout. I mean, as angry as anybody you could ever see, just having just a fit for all time. And from that point onward, it's like everybody knew, here's the line. You can't put pine tar on your bat above that. I'm still getting used to the notion that somebody once said, hey, what can we put on this bat to make it a little bit stickier? Well, I got a pine tree.
On your handle? Like for your hands?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So why would that affect how far you can hit a ball?
It doesn't. That's the whole point. But apparently it's only supposed to go up so far. So birthdays today also include Jennifer Lopez, who turns 55 today.
Who's gonna come for me?
It's her and Ja Rule. They had a couple of hits together there. For all the TMZ that I watch, I've learned just a little bit too much about this pending divorce between J-Lo and Ben Affleck, and all the big parties that she was planning for this week. And if you know Jennifer Lopez, she's having more than one birthday party. One of them had a Bridgerton theme with like coaches pulled by white horses and everything.
Wow.
Every time I see one of these birthday parties for stars or for their kids, like, oh, for the two-year-old, you know, we chartered, you know, we basically did all this $1 million stuff. Folks, if you don't think we need a wealth tax in this country, watch a little bit more TMZ. The movie La Bamba, a somewhat fictionalized biography of Latin rock star Ritchie Valens, opened in the U.S. on this day in 1987. The movie was generally well received. The soundtrack by Los Lobos, Lou Diamond Phillips starred as Ritchie Valens. We've all heard of the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Did you know it was a movie?
Yes.
Probably not, because it opened this day in 1978, and it tanked hard. But it did have a couple of reimagined Beatles hits, including this really nice one from Earth, Wind & Fire. There was also an Aerosmith cover of Come Together. We already mentioned today's National Tequila Day. It's National Cousins Day. It's National Thermal Engineers Day. It's National Drive-Thru Day. And it's National Tell an Old Joke Day. Melissa, I got an old joke for you.
Oh, boy.
Did you know it's still Lasagna Awareness Month? This joke is getting old so fast. And yet here we are, still aware of the lasagna. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, thank you for playing along.
Absolutely. Always fun to be here, guys.
You're awesome. Congressman Mark Pocan will be joining us in the second hour of